Ladies and gentlemen, traveling principal here, Joe Clausi. If you've been tuning in to the last couple of weeks, you've seen a series that I've created with Mitch Weathers from Organized Binder, where we went into a couple of schools, asked a bunch of questions about implementation mid-year and how things are going. And we created a series of best practices in this interview. And so without further ado, let me just start from the beginning and tell you how this all started. So I did meet with Mitch. We drove down to Coalinga. We had a good time down there with everybody like we always do. And we asked a bunch of teachers in Huron Middle School and in Coalinga Middle School some different questions about implementing Organized Binder most effectively, but also doing so mid-year. You could be a new teacher and you could be new to Organized Binder. You came in mid-year. You could have missed the professional development at the beginning of the year.
There is no earthly way of knowing which direction we are going.
Whatever the reasons are for you, or if you just wanted a refresher and talk about best practices, here is part three of this three-part series where we're diving into all kinds of good things with Organized Binder. So far, what we've done was we talked about creating a classroom schedule and a daily routine that would work best for any teacher. We talked about best practices during the school year for teachers to implement Organized Binder, whether it's at the beginning of the year or all the way towards the end of the year. We talked even about a fourth quarter example where a teacher tried it and it worked out really well. And then in this episode, we're going to be doing the do's versus the don'ts. When it comes to Organized Binder, because I've gone into a lot of classrooms, I've seen how a lot of you guys use it. And so it's important that we start talking about do's versus don'ts with using Organized Binder in the end of a three-part series here. So enjoy. This is Joe Clausi, your traveling principal, bringing you this interview with Mitch Weathers, owner-operator of Organized Binder. My friends at Coalinga Huron Unified School District, welcome back to part three in this three-part series that we are doing here with none other than Mitch Weathers from Organized Binder. Mitch, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be back.
So we were talking about, if you guys haven't seen it in part one, creating a classroom schedule and daily routine, which Mitch talked about, one that ensured consistency and student successes. Question two, part two here, was best practices during the school year, where Mitch broke down a couple of different tips for you guys, most importantly, consistency and modeling. And now we are going to do some do's and don'ts so we can avoid making these common mistakes that teachers should avoid for long-term successes with Organized Binder. So, Mitch, what are some do's and don'ts for these teachers when they're using Organized Binder?
Yeah, you kind of hit on it a few times already, Joe. The key word in to everybody listening, Organized Binder and other aspects of your personal pedagogy, your practice, a key word there is consistency. You know, if you're one of the teachers that's participating in the Organized Binder rollout this school year, consistency is king. And if there's anything with the program, or as I mentioned, other things in your practice that you're kind of committed to that you see the value in and can help students, the more consistent, the better, the less pushback you're going to get and things from students. On top of that, because consistency that shared routine, there's incredible power in really what's going on there is something called collective teacher efficacy. Like, we're all going to do this to help our students learn these executive functioning skills. So being consistent, another do, and it's interesting, the do's, the don'ts are going to just be the opposite of the do's. So if things to avoid would be being inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, I go as far to tell teachers, like, hey, if you're like, for example, the concluding routine where students are kind of reflecting on what they've learned, they're writing to you, and the idea is that teachers read those. Well, that takes time. And I'll be the first to admit it. but don't have students read or don't have students write for you and then not read their responses. Mm-hmm. So it, as soon as teachers, and I get it, like, I don't have time for that right now. And so there starts to be an inconsistency, and then the quality and the authenticity of the student feedback diminishes over time.
I see.
Right? That makes sense. So consistency is one, and consistency with updating that class sample binder. Okay, I mentioned that in part two of this conversation, that the consistently updating it every day, it just takes a few moments, brings a ton of clarity around organization. Remember, this binder is just simply the tool to participate in the routine. Mm-hmm. So I want to see what my binder should look like, but it's what I've seen over the years, everybody, is if, and again, it's that tyranny of the urgent. We think of it as time. I didn't have time to update the binder.
I wish you had more time.
And I've had teachers say, well, I haven't updated it for like 3 weeks. And my concern and question then is, then how do students know what their binder should look like?
Yep. Which at this point, guys, I did want to stop and say, if this sounds like it might be your issue, which is deep-rooted, but something extremely solvable and not the end of the world by any means whatsoever, please email me at joe@travelprincipal.com or write to Mitch at organizedbinder.com, and one of the two of us can absolutely help you with this. But he's got a really good point, and it's one that if you think it's revolves around you, you should not shy away from and have it be the reason why you don't want to do it in your class. In fact, it should be the reason.
And if you're doing this thing, then you're non-verbally letting them know, communicating to them that you should be organized, but you're not modeling that for them. So the consistency around that piece of it allows for us to have a moment, even if you just do it in class, mm-hmm. every 4 weeks on average, where we just stop and make sure your binder looks like mine. This is another, doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it's time well spent. But one of the don'ts is skipping those portfolio checks, the binder checks, which is tab E in the binder. It's a blue tab E, and it's set up. There's four per semester. And it's, if you look at kind of that template, you can see that there's different sections in the binder. And please watch that video if you need a refresher on the educator dashboard. But it's basically a quick check where a teacher could just toggle, this needs updated, this is missing, this, right? In comparison to the class sample binder, this is what needs to be fixed. So students can fix those mistakes, update their binder as needed, bring it back for a recheck. So some of the consistency around the routine, like this is just what we do here. We begin here, we talk about what we're going to do today. We get ourselves organized. We jump into the lesson. The end of the lesson, just, you're going to talk to me. How did this land with you? What are you learning? Consistency there. And then consistency around updating that class sample is really key. Mm. Because it's not possible to, I mentioned this in part two, we can't hold students accountable for something that's not clearly modeled for them when it comes to organization.
Yeah.
Especially for students who are struggling with executive dysfunction. And we're talking to all you middle school teachers right now. So that's kind of like most of the kids. It's just where we're at biologically at that age. Yeah. So yeah, I would say those are some like tried and true do's and don'ts. And then the other is, don't do it just for the sake of doing it.
Hmm.
That kickoff routine, that learning log prompt, intentionality is everything. Like, what are you, if you're just doing it because it's what we do, students are going to pick that up immediately and it's not going to work.
Okay.
The power of this will subside, any routine for that matter. So just being very intentional with each step is really going to help kind of the quality of the implementation. So I hope that's helpful.
There you have it, you guys. Some do's and don'ts, some tips so you can avoid some common mistakes. And then this way, you're ensuring long-term successes for your students. Mitch and I can do this again. We can come on back through. Our hope is to provide some adequate training at the start of next year. And then this way,
more than adequate,
right? More than adequate training. And then this way, we don't have to hit you up mid-year. But in the event that you guys need any assistance whatsoever, Mitch, you're available, mitch@organizedbinder.com, correct?
That's me.
Mitch is really willing to work with you guys. He just needs to know and have a time and a place. So reach out if you guys need him. And Mitch, thank you so much for your time in this three-part series.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.